Yo, 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 welcome back to the post show, episode 140. Don't know if we've got some new listeners or not, because I had a couple drinks and handed out some business cards, which, well, some business cards, the QR code on a business card for the podcast. So, welcome if you're here. I hope you're not. But then again, don't you always want new listeners? Anyway, okay, what do we talk about this episode? It's been a minute. And as promised on our last episode, Grant, who was not caught up on Severance season two, now is. So we get real deep on just in general, like a recap of season two so far, what we think certain things mean. And then, like, yeah, just very general theories of what we think is going to happen, especially heading into the finale, which is airing this coming Friday, a day or two after this podcast comes out. It's very Severance heavy in the first 30 minutes, okay? So if you're not onto Severance, zoom right on by, because then we talk about White Lotus season three. If you're not watching one, you're likely watching the other, or you should be. If you're watching neither, what are you doing here? All right, move on. I'm kidding. You could be here for the anime. That's the back half of the show. I give the definitive. Everyone's been waiting. IGN. IGN, as though they're authority on anything. Everybody's been waiting for the definitive Dragon Ball Daima review. I watched it. I give my thoughts. I recommend that you listen to my thoughts and then use that information to base your decision on whether or not you watch it. And then we end up talking about just like anime remakes of classic properties in general, because apparently that's a thing. And then, of course, the 1,000-pound gorilla in the anime world, Solo Leveling season two. We got the finale, a back-to-back finale airing this coming weekend. So we talk about season two in general and our thoughts on the story leading up to said finale. And then we give a just a quick little teaser, or I give Grant a little one of Daredevil Born Again, the new series on Disney Plus, for which there are about three episodes out. So I talked to him a little bit about that, how they had some interesting challenges in production, and what I think of it so far. I think that's about it. I hope you enjoy this. Thank you for tuning in and subscribe, etc. YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Part Time Otaku Podcast. You know the drill. Enjoy.
Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Just enjoying the beautiful bounty of spring.
Oh, thank the Lord. Man, I was just telling you off mic, like, I was down south of the border, our border.
Behind enemy lines.
Behind enemy. A lot of jokes about that. Not
No
shocking.
doubt. No doubt.
Oh, and Grant, and I'm not gonna break through. As you know, being the professional that I am, I never really talk in detail about what I do for a living on the podcast, and it'll stay
Sure.
that way. But what I will say is, we had some rather big dinners with like people that represent relatively large companies, and
Sure.
I will tell you, not at one of these dinners or two, but about three meal type engagements, the podcast business card with the QR code was circulated to a
Nice.
lot of people.
I'd
And
love to see that.
as I saw people scanning it, I was like, I hope I didn't regret this later.
I still throw the sneaky one in a manga in a bookstore every
Hell
now
yeah,
and then.
dude. Hell yeah. I think I remember doing one. I left like a stack of 50 on a on not 50, but like 20 or something on a like splayed out on at the Mayfair Theater when I saw Ghost in the Shell or something. And I was like, this is the place for it.
People will appreciate that.
Yeah, okay, wait. What was I saying? Oh, right, yes, down south, they
Behind
have
enemy
better
lines,
weather. But I came back and winter was all but gone. I now just have to make sure that my house doesn't flood in the first winter or in the first melt, first good thaw.
It's a rite of passage for all homeowners.
Yeah, that just that.
What is the water and snow situation?
Yeah, no, I mean, my rite of passage is, what is a sub pump? And then having to act like
And
an
is it plugged
authority.
in?
Yeah, and having to act like I'm an authority, like an expert of authority on it when Sam inevitably asks, what does that even do? And I'm like, well, it's a good thing you asked because I learned about this 40 minutes ago as the man of the house.
Remember when we bought ours, a part of the selling point was brand new sub pump in the basement. I was like, oh, cool, sweet. How much do those go for? And when it turns out not new and working. And I was like, oh, I'm glad I caught that, like right before the burst. Again, we're in a high water table area, so we tend to get a little more water,
Us too.
but I was just like, ooh, that could have been bad. But it's all concrete, it's not a fish basement, so could have been worse, but
yeah, ours is in like an unfinished area, and there's two right next to one another. Yeah, and I don't know what they cost. I hope I never have to find out. Don't tell me.
Yeah,
cheap though, right? $40.
It's like anything, you know. There's cheaper models, and there's ones, you know, deluxe this, deluxe that.
Oh God, I'm ready. We've got like usability of like all the walkways mostly now, like in and around the house, but like, and we can like see the deck in the backyard, and it's like becoming more and more visible as each day goes. I think we're gonna try and do some gardening this year, Grant. This is a gardening podcast for.
I love that. I love that for you guys.
Yeah. Do you grow things that you consume?
We have, yeah.
Yeah, historically, but not habitually.
Honestly, like every other year.
Okay.
We have it was planted by, not by accident, but like, we grew lettuce one year and somehow it spread to a random like potted plant and it's overtaken that pot.
Hell
and
yeah.
It, like just comes back every year. So we always have like a little bit of lettuce.
Nice.
But, we like growing stuff. We did garlic one year. We did it like in a fall, planted in the fall, grew in the spring.
Nice.
We had like 30 bulbs of garlic. It was pretty great.
Man, you know what I heard one day? Do you remember in COVID? Okay, we can talk about actual movie stuff. I think we should lead with Severance, by the way.
Yeah.
But we can talk about Severance in a minute. But someone told me a story the other day, and I was like, it kind of like was a light bulb moment. Do you remember in COVID, everyone was baking and making sourdoughs and shit?
Yeah.
I had a friend tell us this, and this is a test if you really listen to the podcast. But I had a friend tell us the other day, you know, she went through this big baking sourdough phase in COVID, like everybody else. And then their starter died. And like everybody else, I was learning all about like this starter stuff and how high maintenance they are and whatever. Sure. And then she says, oh, I'm back into it now. And we were talking about, you know, her methodology and process and all this. And I said, so are you using the same sourdough? She goes, oh, no, I bought a 100-year-old one on Etsy. They dehydrate it and ship it across the country, and then you rehydrate it, which takes like 2 weeks, and then you use it, and it's 100 years old. And they have like documentation proving where it comes.
Holy shit.
Isn't that wild?
That is really cool.
But I've
heard of like 100-year-old starters and whatnot, but like the idea or the concept of shipping them and dehydrating them is interesting.
Yeah, but then I thought about it, and I was like, of course that's a whole, I don't want to call it, I don't know if it's an industry, but of course that's like there's a market for that. That's like where
on Etsy of all places. That's
I think she said Etsy. Or maybe it's like the super secret starter marketplace. I can't remember or something.
I've wanted to grow something in my basement for such a long time. Like,
oh, we know you're growing stuff in the basement.
I went through a phase where it was like, are we going to grow like friggin' lion's mane mushrooms? Like I wanted to get like a tomato rack going down there. I'm seeing it's so funny too. Like the spring season starting, I'm getting pushed those new it's like tubular lettuce stands.
Oh
like you know for herbs and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, but put in the little pods and they kind of blow out. But
I'm excited to give it a try. Our city is weird, right? Like there's like metropolis area, but then like I mean I guess it's kind of like any city. Like the minute you get out of it, wildlife congregates.
Sure.
So, like, because we're not currently surrounded by high rises, like, there's rabbits everywhere, squirrels everywhere. So, my immediate thought is, like, okay, if I actually successfully grow a single thing, will it immediately be ravaged by the wildlife here? So, I don't know. But it's like anything else. It's like how we approached our first snow season. It's like, do you just buy a snowplow or a, not a snowplow, a helmet?
That'd be wild.
Yeah, I bought a snowplow.
Let me get my 15-ton truck.
Yeah, no, a snowblower. Yeah, I was like, no, I'm not going to throw money at it until I think it's a problem. So it was like, just see how it goes and course correct as necessary.
Yeah, a little bit of chicken wire goes a long way.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, okay, Severance.
We got a lot of Severance talk.
We do. Last week, Grant was not caught up.
No, I was behind two or three episodes at the time. So we did have to rewatch all of them.
Rewatch all of season two?
No. We had over the like the past like probably like 4 or 5 days. Last weekend and this weekend, we rewatched the last five.
Got you.
And the one that I had thought I had watched, and I was like, oh yeah, like, and we were like talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I remember that. I rewatched it. I was like, I don't remember any of that. And I was like, I literally only remember the moments that you had talked about, you know, the couple nights prior. But
that's all good.
Yeah, but I'm up to date now.
Okay, so the agenda today, as far as Severance goes, is this is the last pod we'll put out before the finale airs, yeah. Which is this Friday, which is the March 21st or something like that. Mm-hmm. So spoiler warning, for everything up to season 2, episode 9 of Severance. Mm.
Yep.
And I believe the finale is scheduled to be like 76 minutes or something, by the way.
Oh, wow. It's long.
I also saw...
The past few been quite long.
Yeah. I also heard rumors, by the way. And these are rumors. I have no sure. industry contacts, though I'm open to them if you're listening.
Yeah.
It's a one-er.
Oh.
Imagine. Or perhaps more accurately, like via...
More like the opener?
No, season, I was going to say more accurately...
Like made to look like a one-er?
Made to look like a one-er. Like 1917. Yeah. Is that what you just said?
No. I meant like the opener of season 2. The shot with Mark and like,
running through. Yeah, but there are cuts there, as we know now. Yes. But like they're well hidden enough that you don't know. Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. I'd be interested. Anyway, regardless of how they shoot it, where do you even want to start, man? So you're coming off this fresh...
Yeah.
Any favorite moments, major takeaways, etc.
I think I got it. So okay.
Level set.
I have some issues with season 2 as a whole, especially over these past few episodes.
Hit me up.
I'm gonna double down on my season 1. I think Patricia Arquette is performing the most over the top performance I've seen in quite some time. As Miss Cobell. I still don't fully get what they're doing with that character.
Right.
I kind of felt like that whole... I think the episode was Sweet Betrayal. It was the episode 8, I believe.
It's basically her... It's Cobell's episode.
Yeah, her episode. Even, like, all this, like... It kind of felt like... You know, like, there's some aha moments, like, you know, with her being... Obviously, again, we said spoilers up top. But, like, you know, her having invented the Severance...
Procedure,
whatnot. Like, that was, like, some big moments and significance. But it still kind of felt like... It just like it was just adding layers and layers and layers, and there was no real kind of definition to like what was being introduced and added to us. Like it felt like a lore dump without kind of like the context to like fit into the bigger picture.
Right.
Like
why is
personality?
That?
Right. Personality stuff I think was like the most like connective to the story that was introduced, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, just setting up that like Lumen kind of came in and kind of swooped in on this town and everyone's huffing ether is alluded to. And like, I know ether is like a big part of like kind of the commandments of Lumen, I think. Or it's in season 1, I know it was ether was brought up.
But keep going.
But so I just found that to be a little messy and they're just like very over the top. On the other hand, Milchick is like the most like understated, powerful performance, like the total opposite of what Charquette is doing. The actor that's playing Milchick is just like that is like a tour de force of acting, in my opinion. Like it's amazing to watch it, like in every scene that he's in. You know, him telling off Mr. Is it Gunderson?
Drummond,
sorry. Gunderson, where'd that come from? Anyways, you know, just kind of more or less telling him to eat shit. What did he say?
Devour feculence.
Feculence. It's like, you know, just, I don't know, I just, I, it's so funny how the same writers and the same staff can have such, you know, very much swinging to the fence performances by two, and they just come out completely different. Yeah. It's, I find anytime Miss Cobell talks, it's super distracting. Like, it feels like I'm watching a schlocky, like, 80s or 90s horror film. Like, it very much takes me out.
Right. Okay, let me react to that before we keep going. So, I think... like as far as Milchick goes, like it's so tough, right? Because you never know with award season, and I don't want to act as though everything is about the awards. It's just like the Oscars are
sure.
fresh. The Oscars are fresh and all that. But yeah, like currently, like I'm watching this and what I think will probably compete directly against it, which is White Lotus, which we will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And like yeah, Milchick has like he's doing the best work. Like he's just, and it's not that he's quote better than like. Anytime you think about competition in art, it's kind of weird, right?
Sure.
But like, yes, I agree with everything you said. He's amazing. He embodies the character so well. Mm. I feel his frustration.
Yeah.
It's funny because he was this menacing force in season 1, and he's still menacing. But we now, I think ironically, now that we know about Lumen and its bigger picture a bit more, we almost feel for him as well. You almost want him to succeed in his role as floor manager, which directly goes against what you want for the rest of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, like I think it's, he's one of the, I don't know if anti-hero is the right word. I think we're all hoping.
He's just, he's such a, like an attractive antagonist, you know, like
yeah.
he provides so much more to the story by being there. Like, you know, it's you're right. It's not the anti-hero thing. He's not like, yeah, like he's an awful dude, but like I want him to succeed. Like it's, he just, every time he's on screen as the antagonist, he kind of just like brings more to the,
yeah.
the overall picture. I think, you know, the closest thing to like the anti-hero is, cause we're seeing it from him being pinched in by both sides, right? Like he's yeah. getting worked over by management, upper management. He's getting worked over by the Mark and Dylan and Helly and whatnot. But yeah, it's just
like, under a lot of pressure.
Like, you feel for him in a way.
And he takes it seriously, which makes mm-hmm. you think, like, if he turns at one point on the mm-hmm. system, he would make probably a pretty powerful ally. Also,
I thought there was a hint of it this episode, if I'm being honest.
I agree. Yeah. The
office scene where he's on the phone with Mark. Said yes. a lot.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was like a human moment. You're talking about when mm-hmm. Mark said, I just need a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a weirdly human moment, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the moments he's had, Milchek, with Natalie, mm-hmm. you know, the clear conflict it brought out in him when they remade those images of Kier in
yeah.
his image and that how weird that was. Yeah, like he's clearly a conflicted guy. And I want to just note, I know we probably already said it in episodes past, but he has like some of those beautiful scenes. You remember that episode with him on the motorcycle?
Mm-hmm. Second episode, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He looks so fucking cool. I mean, you put anybody in a cool motorcycle jacket, black helmet mm-hmm. at night, lone road, only light in the frame is Milchek blazing through the night. Like that's more of a cinematography thing, but yeah, pretty wild.
You and I love that. We're suckers for the shot. Yeah.
I mean, I'm at the point where I'm trying to say it less because I think you know this story, but for the viewers, listeners, not that anyone cares, but Grant, you'll appreciate this. Like when Sam and I started dating, and I was mansplaining movies to her, not really, but let's be honest. Yeah. No, but
it's inherent in all of us.
We do our best, but no, honestly, you know, we're just watching movies. We're watching TV together. And when stuff would come up, I'd be like, that's a good shot. Like that's beautiful. That's cool. That's well framed, mm-hmm. whatever. And I'm trying to do that less, but for a birthday, she got me a shot glass that was engraved. That's a good shot.
Wow.
Pretty good one, right?
That's a good one.
I knew she was a keeper. But that's nowadays,
awesome, Sam.
Shout out.
What's that? Shout out, Sam. That's a good yeah. gift.
But nowadays, like everything in Severance is gorgeous. Like every shot is like, Jesus, man. Like they're just batting 1,000.
I would argue these past 2-3 episodes is probably like the worst CG they've done in quite some time. There's the shots of like the burnt out town. That Miss Cobell was in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's the shots surrounding Lumen.
And you're saying those are computer generated?
Yeah, oh my god. There's a scene of a train in the most recent episode that I was like, could they not have just gotten a train? Like it's
interesting.
I'm convinced it is, but it also doesn't help. It's all shot in like that very pale, dark, like the blue gray. And I was like, this just looks like a computer. Like it doesn't feel.
And because they've also gone on record saying they insist on doing everything in camera.
Then maybe, I don't know.
There's a quality that you dislike. Or maybe it is actually CG. But like, do you remember Gemma's episode? Because you just rewatched everything. So they have,
yes.
they have that, it might be episode 6 or 7.
The big one.
Seven.
Yeah, the really one. Popular one. When Mark's dreaming, he's asleep and he's kind of the back and forth between them. Whole time. And
I think I told you this, but now that you've seen it, it should hit different. The director who did that was her directorial debut, right?
I'd finished that. I looked to Leanne. I was like, can you imagine? Like, David told me this was this, you know, this person's first time, you know, her debut. I'm like, that is amazing. It's a huge feat.
The reason I bring it up is there's a sequence where it shows them in the past. The team is sitting in their pod.
Mm.
And it's just showing that Lumen is listening. It like goes, there's like this effect where they go up a wire into the other room. Not CG. They film that practically with laparoscopic cameras.
And see, like,
that's fucking wild.
That's the stuff I don't have an issue with. It's, of course. It's the background shots and, like, the kind of the scene setting stuff.
Yeah, you feel like they're going out of their way and doing too much to punch
it
up just, the environment.
It feels, and like, not animatronic, but, like, it feels like 10 years ago, you know? Right. But again, I think it could also be, my TV and, like, the color, so, like I said, like, right. that kind of, because, you know, we've always, I remember, like, we were doing House of Dragon Nights, like, we struggled with the darks. Like, it was just like, it felt like there was patches in the TV.
You're talking about Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon?
House of the Dragon.
Okay.
Game of Thrones definitely had that. I remember there was
those Game of Thrones guys that they fucked that up. They can blame TVs as much as they want. I don't know about House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon, I find it's like anytime it's like dark. Still have like issues. It just feels like there's like, why is there like a smoke on the screen kind of thing? Right. But to your
point though, like, I will just give you this, like, Severance is very, it's ultra color graded. It's ultra stylized. They're doing a lot. So maybe in spots, it stands out. Okay. Okay, wait. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else major.
Well, the Gemma stuff, obviously. Oh, sorry. Can I say my favorite shot from that episode 7? The closing of Mark coming to the door with the cops coming to the door, letting that Gemma has passed. Died in the accident.
Yes.
And you only see like light from like his nose and jaw lower. And his eyes, like, in the shadow, and he kind of, like, comes into frame or kind of steps out. Or I think he steps out of frame a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the money right there. that's on your reel. That's a good one.
And also how handsome they made him look in the past, the flashbacks.
Yeah.
When he's falling in love with Gemma.
It goes to show they intentionally make him gaunt.
Look like shit. He looks awful in the present. And they're not even, like, you know, he's sick right now. He just had a fucking stroke or an aneurysm. Yeah. Like, he looks terrible.
Yeah,
but they made Adam Scott look super handsome throughout last season.
Like, there's just like, you know, he's a very, you know, slender, kind of skinny guy, but like, he looks from season one to now like very, very gaunt. Like, it almost looks like, oh, like, is he, you know, malnourished or like
what? Yeah,
but
he's depressed.
Yeah.
the Gemma episode was unbelievable. Okay. Theories. Is there anything? Oh, also, I mean, one other revelation, you know, in the Cobell episode you didn't love, or the Cobell thing.
No, I did like the episode.
The Cobell stuff.
Yeah.
She does reveal child labor is definitely involved, right?
Yes.
And then they connect that later in episode 8 or 9 to Miss Huang and this Wintertide fellowship thing.
Fellowship, yeah.
So we know that Lumen recruits early, and then they send maybe, I don't know, high performers. I don't know if it's all of them or some of them or select few, but we know that Cobell did one.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Cobell had experience with drugs in that town at 8 years old.
Mm.
And that this guy from her past also was in the same boat and working in a factory designed by Lumen. Also, in the Gemma episode, Lumen is on... It's a Lumen fertility clinic.
Mm.
The doctor who's testing Gemma in real time, in present day... worked at the fertility clinic. He's looking at her creepily and
you can see the pass by shot. Yeah.
So there's Lumen is heavily involved. I mean, I think one obvious theory as we like shift a little bit is like, did they orchestrate everything? Is, you know, did Gemma get in an actual car crash? Did they orchestrate the car crash?
I think that's like a given at this point, just based on everything. You know, that clinic was probably you know, their way of finding proper or the ideal candidate, you know, and that she's just selected, you know.
And also they have to give DNA samples, right? Mm-hmm. At a fertility clinic, like, they're going to take your blood and whatever else. Like, so if they needed to gather biological data to find a candidate, that's a perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
I've got a funny theory, but I'll get to it in a minute. One obvious theory is, like, all of this is a means to bring back the OG Keir Egan.
Mm.
I don't quite know. I mean, maybe the thought... So, I'm just trying to think of how I can pitch this to you. I have an original theory that kind of co-opts the Keir one.
Okay.
I'll start with the Keir one. And this is like the one that goes back, maybe all the way back to season one. We don't have a ton of new data on it. But the basic idea was, you know, we have these four core tempers from Lumen that Keir founded. And he says they're what make up a soul, and they're frolic, woe, dread, malice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that these are buckets that MDR refines data into.
Yeah.
And they complete files, and then the files are done, and they move on. And they only complete 1 out of 5 files because the rest expire.
Mm.
Some people, maybe those are corpses. Maybe those are brains, just not, whatever. Who knows? Yeah. But there's laneway there. And then, you know, the theory early on is like, okay, why are they doing this? To what end? And then the thought is, well, if you can find a way to remap soul data or maybe brainwave data, maybe they're decoding corpses, or maybe they're decoding pieces of Kier's consciousness. And maybe when they work through all the data, they'll have like something they can take and put in a container. And like maybe they can bring him back in a new body or something. It's a little sci-fi, but I don't think it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, they're kind of touching on it. Oh, that was the other the big reveal is someone could be severed more than once.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So this, that's a great point. You know, we first saw that in season one with the birthing cottages, right?
Yep.
People are severing themselves to get away from negative experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Well, negative, traumatic.
Yep.
Birth, going through birth, you could argue, right? And then we see Gemma, and you know, they're severing her for the dentist. They're severing her to sign gifts.
I saw someone had pointed out an Easter egg that she hates signing cards or thank you, or is it writing thank you cards?
Yes.
Or was it Christmas cards?
Something like that. Yeah.
That whole room is her like constantly filling out.
Maybe it's because she specifically hates it, and they're and remember, they keep asking her in between rooms. Do you remember what happened in there? So they're testing, right? Are her consciousnesses properly severed in all of these separate dentist, Christmas room, whatever?
Yeah.
So that's very interesting and creepy as all hell.
I saw another interesting theory of like, you know, what was like her, they must have given her like a sheet when she first went in of like, what's your least favorite this? What's your least favorite that? Like, how do you, you know, what's the one food you can't sit? There's probably like all this stuff. They tried to pull out the things she hates and potentially could have designed rooms around that, which is just such a morbid thought.
And are those rooms, because one room is called Cold Harbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are those rooms severance procedures that MDR has potentially created? Like MDR and Mark, they're working on Cold Harbor right now, and there's a room there named Cold Harbor.
Yeah.
So did they complete the other respective files somehow, and like somehow that's tied to each severance procedure?
It could very well be, or like to get like to the meta level of like what would be the ideal testing in that room. Yeah. You know,
now
feelings or thoughts, I don't know, it's hard to say.
Now if Cold Harbor is, remember, like Lumen keeps saying, it's going to change the world, and then Arquette or Cobell says in this most recent episode, oh, if Cold Harbor is done, then she is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, to your point, like the dialogue given to Cobell is quite cryptic. Her performance,
I
don't hate it, but I do see where you're coming from.
It's not that I don't hate it. It's just like it's a show that like I don't watch Severance. Like it's I'm not trying to sound like grumpy about it. Like it's not that I don't watch Severance to laugh. It's just, you know, I want to find the meaning. I want to watch this, and it's just I find it so distracting.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime she speaks, it's not that I hate it. It's not bad. Like, yeah, I think the one thing was, you know, her meltdown in season one. Like, I was like, this is one of the most over top
at the shrine in her house.
Ever, yeah, like, yeah. And just, you know, and her screaming at him at the car this season, like driving Adam, and like, she's so flip floppy. Like, I really don't.
You can see what they're trying to do with a person who is so married to the idea of this cult or this faith or whatever they want to call it, and she seemingly snapped and tore away from that violently.
Mm.
But I don't disagree. It could probably be a bit better. So the Cold Harbor thing. I was just going to say, you know, if it's going to change the world, and if it's done, then Gemma's dead. I mean, I think the obvious place my brain went at first was, like, is it a severance procedure for death? Like, could they activate it if you're about to die traumatically and you never have to deal with it, your innie does?
I wonder, like, if they maybe they found a way to like actually like delete an innie.
Yeah, delete an innie.
Like, you know, because, you know, like technically, like they die, but they're in like a potential ether. Like there's always
the chips in there, and you could,
there's always an opportunity to like for them to, you know, essentially reawaken. You know, like Dylan signed all this stuff. Like, you know, he wants to, you know, retire. We
talked about Dylan, but
yeah, he's there's a lot of stuff. That's I'll talk about overacting this week. Oh my god. But, no, I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's something like where like they find a way to delete the innie and maybe like the main consciousness and input. Maybe Kier is going to be like put in as an innie potentially, and then it's reversed that way.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so
implant Kier as instead of someone's innie, like swap them out.
Yeah, and then maybe Cold Harbor's the way to like remove the original consciousness.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I thought of that, but yeah, I don't know. It's well, we're gonna get. I'm so excited for the finale, just because to see Mark S out on the outside, and you know, with Devin and Miss Cobell, and
Okay, so my original theory that I came up with like just a couple days ago, mm-hmm. and I don't know how likely this one is. It feels like a bit of a reach, but I think it's definitely clear that Mark S is in a love triangle, right? Like.
Yeah.
And or maybe like kind of a square if you consider Helly and Helena two people, right? Because he only loves excuse me, he only loves one of them, but his outie probably still loves his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Though I do think, for the record, it's very interesting that we saw them drifting apart right before her death. Like they were kind of falling out of love.
Yeah,
just as a note.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, and this is far out, but hear me out on this. Okay, so
I love a theory. You know that.
So if Cold Harbor is a way to bring Kier back, okay. Or maybe Cold Harbor is just a way to move a consciousness, like let's just say it is. We do know that Helena plays ball with the organization, right? With Lumen. She intentionally severed herself.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if she was volunteered or voluntold, but she went down there. She went
after this most recent episode with her father. It kind of feels very voluntold.
Well, who knows what she was like before she was nearly killed? You know what I mean? I think this experience has probably changed her, but you make a good point. There's probably quite a bit of pressure. So whether or not she has agency in her decisions is hard to say. But what I was going to say is, like, Mark is clearly going through this love triangle thing. Helly, at the penultimate episode, is on her way down. She found the elevator, and she's going down. And, like, what if Cold Harbor works? And as a test, because Helena's proved to be a good test subject. What if they move Gemma's real consciousness into Helly or something? Or maybe what if the two, like, these two people are, whether or not they realize it, right? Like, there's a triangle here with Mark and Gemma and Helly. And he's going to have to choose, I think. At some point, something will have to give. Like, his outie can't love Gemma forever, while his innie loves only Helly. Like, something's going to get fucked up, right?
Yeah.
And I just think that there's some wires are going to cross. I don't know if they're going to become one person.
Well, this whole season has been so themed around love and relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. Irving, Dylan, you know, Helly and Helly, Gemma, and Mark. You know, Bert. Jesus. Bert. God, he's such a fucking titan. Christopher Walken. Oh my god, he's so good.
Goated.
We can't. I felt that. Just like, yeah.
Well, did you see what I put on Instagram the other day?
No, I didn't actually.
On the Part Time Otaku Instagram, which you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, and I think that's it. but it's a side by side. Season one, Bert, any Bert, saying to any Irving in this plant room. They escape together. They wander off somewhere. And any Bert says, just stay. And any Irving says, I can't. I'm not ready. I'm not ready. And then nothing happens, and that's it. That's end scene. Skip forward season two to their goodbye in the train station. Outie Irving is just saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. And Outie Bert is saying, I can't. Just go. Fucking wild.
That shit was heavy.
There's so much parallelism in this show. Like, you know, I think, again, season one, it's in the same post I put on the Instagram. It's a frame of Mark, any Mark, that, you know, when Petey left, Dylan was upset. Like, well, they killed Petey. And he's like, they didn't kill him. He's just not here.
Yeah.
Same line, slightly tweaked. Season two, he's looking at the ashes of Gemma in his basement. He goes, oh, she's not dead. She's just not here. Because those aren't her ashes. Anyway, they have a lot of things like that they play. Okay, so we've done 30 minutes on Severance.
We could do 30 more, honestly. But
the Dylan thing is heartbreaking.
Like, just the layers of fucked up that is, you know, it's crazy because the only loser is
his wife. And his...
Well, like, yeah, like, in at the end of the day, like, she chose to be with, you know, the outside or Audi Dylan and whatnot, and, you know, the relationship's going sour, but like, it just, the manipulation, not an ill intention, I think she was thinking of herself, and there, you know, there was some selfishness.
It's complex.
Again, it's so complex, but just like the total, like, just the, you know, the ripping of the heartstrings, and just, you know, Dylan, like, just like the loneliness he could be. And he brings up a point, you know, like, they do such a good job of, like, we know they're in a prison, we know, like, you know, that there's, like, they're being watched over, like, they have no privacy and whatnot. And then, like, you see a moment like that, and where Dylan's just, like, in the lost of, like, oh yeah, like, we are prisoners, like, you know, all they do is work, you know, like, there's no, yeah, just,
and also,
yeah,
like, everything is a magnitude more hurtful when you remember and you remind yourselves that these people have no other life experience. It's the first time Dylan's been dumped, and it's by his wife. You know, like, that's tough.
The pictures of them are still on the back wall.
Yeah,
you know, wild. Of like their wedding day or whatever, and he's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, remember again, like, how much impact is it Rickon, the dipshit, Devin's husband?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the funny theory, I don't know if you've seen this floating around, is that he's a goat. I know.
Oh.
I know. It sounds weird. And I'm not necessarily behind this, but I'm not against it either.
Okay.
I think the idea... There's goats in the rooms, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know there are goats.
Yeah.
Allegedly, and I have not verified this, allegedly, there's a goat reference in every episode of Severance. Kind of like Seinfeld and Superman. Like, they mention... Or... What's that? You do know?
I don't. The Seinfeld one?
Oh, really? Superman is either mentioned or... a reference to him is on screen in every episode of Seinfeld because he loves Superman.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is goats and Severance. And it's like, you know, it's either on, it's a logo on a piece of paper, or they talk about it, or they see it, or whatever. Wow. The connection that people think is there. And to be fair, I think, you know, this one isn't that crazy. I think back in season one, we ran into a goat, and that guy's feeding it, and he said, they're not ready. And, like, my first thought, and I think I'm sure a lot of people's first thoughts, is, like, I think, you know, in real life, we cloned a goat, and then it died, right? Like, a real goat clone.
A sheep.
But sheep, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, I think the thought is, like, some of his mannerisms are weird, and he's kind of a dimwit. And most importantly, this is, like, the real juice behind the theory. Devin showed a picture of him mountain climbing, and it looks like a lot of famous pictures of mountain goats.
Interesting.
So I don't know if I can really get behind that one, but it'd be pretty funny because he is a weird character.
The thing that blows my mind, and I highly doubt, I'd be surprised if we got, like, you know, like, full clarification by the season finale, but, like, the biggest potential red herring in season one was the goat room.
Yes.
And they touched it in a huge way this season, and it's been nothing since. Again. And it's like, that's either a really sadistic joke of, like, you know, sending people down one direction for no reason and having fun theories like this, or if there's, you know, yeah, I don't know. Like, what? Again, the least this season is, like, it's not the goats we're hung up on, it's the people that are, like, the caretakers, and, like, the whole thing about, like, let's see your stomach, and what's, you know, what's
what
that?
What the hell is that about?
Yeah,
they are going down a path. We are getting answers now, but as we get more answers, we get more questions, right?
Yeah, which is good. That's good. That's what you want in a show like this.
But you must tread lightly and not go the path of Lost, right? You have to wrap this shit, and you don't need to go down a list of, did I answer every question ever, right?
Sure.
But you got to wrap this shit up, and you got to do it in a way that is, like, it seems to fulfill, like, this sense of, like, overwhelming mystery that they've created. Like, that's the challenge, right?
Well, they've been really, like, I know maybe this is just, like, season finale stuff coming up, but, like, they've been really hitting the season three stuff in the new, like, the new cycle lately. Yeah.
They want to put they're pushing hard for
it. Yeah. I think it's going to be a quicker turnaround time for, I think they are.
They had the writer's strike too, right? So,
that
in between two. But anywhere near 3 years is not.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't want to normalize this. House of the Dragon, fucking 2 years in between. I hope we don't. If they go, oh, we'll do it so much faster, we'll do it only in two instead of 3 years, like, I'm still gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
Anyway, Okay. That's a lot of Severance. White Lotus?
Yeah, that's it.
From one drama to the other. Are you caught up?
Yep.
I mean, I think the only thing we really
need fought to... hard last night. I was fucking fading fast. Yeah. And I was like, you need to get out of this tomorrow. Like, I was like, all right, like, well, we're good. Where's my glasses?
I think the only thing we really need to talk about, we got three bullet points here.
Sure.
And the first one is Sam Rockwell's monologue talking about being an Asian woman.
Unreal.
I saw that making the rounds today.
People talking about goats? That fucking guy, I'll watch him act anything, in anything, any circumstance. What a perfect delivery. Stone cold.
Give me a... no one ever suggests this. Fans, I'll suggest it. Give me a White Lotus spinoff of Walton Goggins and Sam Rockwell and what they did when they were younger. Just fucking shit up. Probably contract killers or organized crime of some kind. Because we know that whatever Walton does, it's likely illegitimate. Or at least they've hinted at that.
Yeah, but I don't like... I actually think my theory... Because I think... You know, there's so many layers to this season and like the different groups and
you stuff they haven't really touched on before.
I think he is. I think he is probably. I don't think he's like the big bad contract killer that people think he is.
So I don't. Or the hitman. I don't disagree.
I think he might be like a fucking bookie or something. Like, and he just like ripped people off or something. Like something so not like lowballed, but like
yeah,
not the eight. He has a type. Like, he does a lot of comedy stuff, but when he's not doing comedies, he's playing like a mean, ugly badass.
Yeah.
And his hair has looked the worst it's ever been intentionally. Like you know, like they're really kind of setting him up to be like this real grease ball. Yeah, yeah. Like,
I
will do anything.
I don't think
it's that. Yeah, but you know what, Dave? I wouldn't be surprised if he's not even that.
And he's like, he's not like, nearly this tortured man he's represented himself to be, and he's kind of just like a low class.
Yeah, I think he's like he sold boats in Florida or something. You know, like he just you know, like something
that'd be pretty fun.
And he's just like, this is just a guy he knew, or he was in the army at the very
stole
least
crypto. Something
like just something.
I'd be down with that for the record.
Yeah, I honestly think that.
But
yeah,
my point stands. I'll buy that buddy cop whatever show.
Yeah,
is it weird saying that he did an amazing job just reacting to Rockwell's monologue? It's hard to look like.
We were talking about it last night. The last time, like, we had laughed hard. Do you remember in season two, I can't remember which season of Manhunter it was, or Mindhunter. It was an Edward. You watch Mindhunter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wish they.
Was it Edward Kemp? The really big guy?
Kemper.
Like Ed Kemper. And there was a scene where.
Now that was haunting. Yeah.
There was a scene about him talking about how he essentially, you know, like, you know, he had ripped someone's head off and, you know, had his assaulted. Mother. Was it his mother?
And that's a real life story, you know.
No, I know. But like, that was his whole thing. But when it cuts to the Groff and the other guy, to this day, Leah and I still say, sure. Like the deadpan of like, sure. You know, like, yeah, just like after hearing the story, like to this day, we still say that. And just like we laugh similarly.
Walton the skinny Goggins guy just, who said that? Or the
I think it was
two
the other
cop
guy.
Partners.
Yeah, like the other guy, the buzz cut guy.
Yeah, buzz cut macho guy. Yeah,
but and just the like seeing Walton Goggins just kind of like the wide eyed of like, didn't judge, just like crazy story, man. Like
I think Sam said he's married to one of the in real life. Rockwell's married to one of the trio of girls.
Leslie Bibb, I think.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, and apparently him and Walton Goggins are buds. Walton just made a big post about on Instagram. Yeah. So,
Sam Rockwell.
What a get. I've never seen Three Billboards. You want an Oscar for that?
That's a good movie.
That's a good one, eh?
That is a good movie. I like Martin McDonagh.
It's not a Western, is it? It's just the poster looks like a Western.
It's set in like modern day in Missouri. Like it's one of my favorite Woody Harrelson performances.
Oh, Harrelson's in it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of he's like Sam Rockwell and Woody Harrelson. That feels like a good vibe.
He's like feels like the only sane person in the town.
Okay.
And he's like trying to like be like the straight man of like, sure, guys, like everyone needs to chill, you know? And
yeah.
It's a really good performance.
Parker Posey.
A gorgeous meal.
Have you seen like some of the stuff I put on the Instagram? Like she went on, I think she did Good Morning America, and they're talking about her accent. And then they ask her, like, how did you dial this? And she's like, you know how some actors are so precious about their process? Sure. Oh, I worked with a dialect coach. I take it very seriously. Yeah. And they don't want to, like, sometimes you just want the monkey to dance, right?
Yeah.
Do the voice. Do the, you know, yeah, it's like, I guarantee if you ask a Nosferatu actor, hey, can you do the voice? Like, he's going to be like, no, Orlok. Like, I need to get in my process. But but she's just doing it on talk shows because she thinks it's hilarious. So
it's
she's like,
so funny.
So there's all these clips of her and montages now of her being like, Piper, net, like just on TV.
Saxon.
But she goes, there's certain words I'd love to say. Tsunami. Buddhism. Piper, no.
Oh my God, we were howling on the couch last night when she was like, why would anyone want to live in Taiwan?
She's perfect. She steals, unfortunately, because I like Lucius Malfoy, but she steals every fucking scene he's in.
Yeah, it was so funny because, and like, it seems so obvious, but he is the one that was pilled up this episode and was like kind of drifting through the episode. And they do a really good job of, like, she clearly has like an addiction, like, to these pills, you know, more of a tolerance, and, you know, she's like semi-functional and kind of throwing
her drug
shade
base
here and there.
Yeah.
And he's like completely like comatose and like kind of like just, you know, drawling his way through. But oh my God, like, you know, where can I have my pill? Or, you know, where's I think she's like, where can we put our bags? And Chelsea's like, or not Chelsea, the Quebec girl. She's like, oh, here's fine. And she, just like where she like tucks behind the pillow. And
pillow.
Like, that's so funny.
I love the, this is also a show like that. Everything they do is gorgeous. Like this full moon party. And then the club that the girls went to in Thailand.
That's pretty wild.
Just the, you know, I love that they were editing between, you know, the parties and then back to reality. Mm-hmm. And then, and it was both exciting and like kind of anxiety inducing. You're like,
yeah,
you know, we were watching it go, oh, something's gonna go wrong, you know, like
those three girls, like the three friends, that is the most anxiety inducing anytime they're on screen. I'm just like, ooh, I know I don't like this.
Mike White, man, they thread this needle on, you know, you really just need to light a match here, there's enough gas. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you think they're gonna kill one another, it's just they keep getting themselves into these situations.
Yeah.
And drinking too much and get, you know, just doing all these things. That's like, yo, like, you're inviting disaster. Like, you're playing with fire.
She's looking for it. Michelle Monaghan's character is looking for it.
She brought the guy back after her friends went back. Because she wanted they also do a really good job with her character, though, by the way. Like, the need, the desire for attention, the quiet competitiveness.
Yeah.
Like, that, and also, very like grounded.
They did a really good job of, like, the second something was out of her control, she was getting, like, really, like, uppity and kind of, and rude. Like, the amazing, in the beginning of the episode, the amazing scene of the water gun festival.
Yes.
How unique was it? I was like, that's such a good get. Like, that's such a unique thing to bring to the show in this place that just elevates it. And they turn it into this whole running water there's like a scene, like, someone clearly just like threw a bucket of water at them at one point.
Just
like, and you know, the kids are following him into the store and like the miscommunication of like, oh, the back door, and he's like, you know, like,
no
here
door.
Like, the door's here. But it's really, really cool. I love it. Like, Leanna's got all her coworkers on White Lotus now. They've all ripping
it's
through
so
it like
good.
It's just a show that anyone can watch. It's so like entry, you know, like user friendly entry.
I agree. You can appreciate it on like a number of levels. It's wild to have this much good drama on. The only other thing I really need to mention is the incestual brother kiss.
That was fucking weird. Also, like,
there have been incest breadcrumbs.
I am the drugs. That's such a great line.
Go get him, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
You and I know so many people that have like more or less like said that exact same line of like, I don't need him. I am them. You know,
he's I really dig his performance. Like, I feel like this will be a big get for him. But it's funny, like, because they planted the weird sexual tension energy early
in the first episode.
First episode, and we haven't really done much with it other than to see tension between the siblings. But you're like, is that normal tension because they're siblings? And then you know, it felt like a foregone conclusion because, you know, Greg/Gary is in and around all this in some weird way. But it felt like a foregone conclusion that Patrick Schwarzenegger, the older brother, was going to hook up with Greg's wife, which is fine. But I was, you know, I was worried about them overdosing, they're popping pills and stuff, and then. But what an interesting twist for the brother kiss to happen. But again, like, that's just
good, the shot of Amy, good drama. Amy Lou Wood of, like, just her face of, like, oh my god, like, what are they doing?
What's going on here?
Yeah, Chelsea and Parker, like, Mrs. Ratliff, like, stand it. Like, anytime they're on screen. But our boy Guy Talk, though, what a domer. I cannot believe this guy.
Yeah.
Cannot believe him.
And Mook, is it Mook? His Mook, love interest?
Yeah.
You're aware she's a big pop star?
Yeah, she played it. She was at the Oscars.
Yes. This is a compliment. I like watching her performance, which I think is good. You would not know she's like someone in another profession, like trying to transition. Sure. She's very convincing. But yeah, Guy Talk, goddamn, dude, I'm rooting for you, for him, because of how endearing he is, but he cannot get out of his own way.
That was like,
yeah.
You know, him getting like hit struck when like the bank robbery. When also those clearly, Russian dudes are 100% the guys
who were absolutely that inside job, like, orchestrated by our the boys who came up with the
They even they drew all the eyes to it, like they showed it in the scene and anyways. But you know him, so him getting like hit by the guys, you know, robbing the place, that's one thing. But like, you know, him just like leaving the gun on the counter, not locking the door, that's like a whole other
being level a of stupid. Victim of a crime and not knowing how to react when you've had no experience or instruction on how to react is, like you said, understandable. But the negligence, and then again, he had no fucking training on how to handle guns either. So, but again, it's not going to matter, right? It's too much.
I did find it funny that the line was, "I have a license to have this. You need to take it and go learn how to use it after work." You know, like, so it's like, it's just very loosey-goosey.
Yeah, big time.
A little more Fabian this episode, too.
Which one's Fabian?
The guy from Zone of Interest.
Yeah, he needs more screen time.
Yeah.
He'd be a good, like, surprise.
I'm not following it. There's the great,
Oh my god, that was hilarious, frustrating.
Experience. I'm not following. Please do send it to me.
Yeah. God. Okay. Good on White Lotus?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pivot a little bit to some anime.
Yeah.
Can I do a quick one before we do solo leveling? Solo leveling is like the 1,000-pound gorilla, but I just want to give you a quick report. This is a 30-second thing. I finished Dragon Ball Daima.
Okay.
I recommend, if you're a Dragon Ball person and you have any room left in your stomach for Dragon Ball content, I would classify this as a must-watch. Like, it's the best thing it has going for it, which it pains me to say, but it's actually quite obvious, is something that no other Dragon Ball series has, which is it's short and consistently good animation. No, but honestly, and that's I'm not trying to, but like, you know, if I told you to go watch Dragon Ball, how many hundreds of episodes is that? If I said go watch Z, even if you watch Kai and like trim it down, it's still hundreds or well over 100. And then Super's 130. So like, if I tell you to watch Dragon Ball, I'm telling you to watch hundreds of episodes of something.
Yeah, it's like catching up on One Piece. You know, like, you're not doing it in a short amount of time.
Yeah, so if you have interest in this stuff, you don't need to have seen Super, and you don't need to have seen GT. And so it's like, if you just watched Dragon Ball in the 90s, Dragon Ball Z, or in the early 2000s, or whenever you were a kid, this happens right after the Buu saga. It's like a branch.
Okay, yeah.
And it's fantastic. Like, it's a very, very, very fresh take. Like, for example, Dragon Ball Super truly feels like they picked up after Z and changed nothing other than, like, you know, they introduced some new mechanics and elements and, like, plot devices. But it's trying to be almost the same show and just continuing the plot. Okay. This feels like a complete reimagination in, like, a really fun, like, healthy way. They experiment. They don't really follow a lot of the rules that they set before, but I think in like a fun way.
Yeah.
And also fantastic soundtrack, looks absolutely beautiful. And it feels like a love letter, like, especially with Toriyama passing away and this being the last thing he touched. Like, when those series credits rolled, I was like, that's the end of Dragon Ball. Like, this is what I consider the definitive ending. I'm done. This is a high note to go out on.
What do you think of the not-so-secret rumors coming out that Dragon Ball's getting a full remake?
So, would it be like a remake, like just redoing the whole thing?
I think they're, because right now there's a bit of a current trend of going back and remastering like 80s classics.
Yeah.
Well, not even, well, One Piece is, yeah, that is one, but 80s, like, but there's like the coming one, like Yaiba, like they've redone Rurouni Kenshin. You know,
the one
like,
we watched, like, Reimagination with CG.
Oh, Trigun.
Trigun, which is not really a remake, but I know.
Yeah, but like Netflix is like kind of like got this little market of like eight, specifically 80s kind of more like preteen, very much shonen series. They're kind of like remastering and redoing. I think Dragon Ball is like, I don't know if it's like a Toriyama thing, was like getting in front of it while he was still alive, and now everyone's kind of like, well, you know. Now we can do what we want, kind of thing. But yeah, I feel like there's about to be a lot more Dragon Ball. I don't think Daima is the end of it.
Yeah, I'd like it to be the end. Like, as a, just speaking from my own point of view. But, you know, that it's just like, you know, casting, it's not just like this, but I guess you could make the argument that it's similar to, like, you know, they're going to make a new Superman and a new James Bond, whether or not you like it. And the argument when they do that is, like, we want to bring these stories and these franchises to a new audience. And, like, I don't know. I had so much fun with Dragon Ball. Would it be cool that by the time my kids are 7 and 8 or whatever, like they could grow up watching it like I did, especially if it's new? I mean, if that happens, I'll probably be stoked.
Dope.
But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, but if you're going to go and change it, you know, I don't
know if it would be changed. I think it would just be like more or less like trimmed down shot for shot, you know, the stuff that matters.
Maybe that'd be cool. Like, I don't know. I'm open to it, but like,
can you imagine like a Daima level animation of retelling the original Dragon Ball story?
That would
They got the assets.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
You know, whatnot. Like
that I can absolutely see, and I can see that being like really cool. I don't want it to be a thing where somebody inherits the IP and then they just milk the shit out of it and make five new series that continue the story without Toriyama's involvement. And again, I'm not being precious, because like, I think I've said, every time I talk about Dragon Ball, like I also mentioned that it was inconsistent as shit. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And it's not like the be-all end-all of like perfect storytelling in anime. It's like actually not even quite close. But like, there's a lot of nostalgia there, and like the guy is gone, so maybe let's not disrespect his memory. And,
no, I agree.
You know what I mean? Just yank everything we can out of it. A remake, fine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be bummed about that at all. In fact, I'd probably watch it.
I'd be curious. I'd be...
Might be fun.
Of any of them, of any of the Dragon Ball series, the original would be the one I have like the least knowledge of. I think that would be the one I'm most interested in seeing.
Yeah, just I agree.
You know, I can more or less like recount majority of the Dragon Ball Z stuff for the most part.
Oh yeah,
you know, I've seen Super, I got nothing, but you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
All right,
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, man. And, like, dude, if you, like, this is, like, this would be, like, a good holiday binge for you. If you got time off coming up or something, like, 20 episodes, as you know, when you get dialed into something, like, it's easy to just breathe that
fucking
in.
Fucking clown shoes, dude.
Yeah. All right. Penultimate. This is kind of penultimate. Solo Leveling.
Season penultimate.
Because the finale coming out this weekend is a back-to-back double broadcast.
Ooh, I did not know that.
So we're talking about Solo Leveling season 2. Okay, this is, you know, as you know,
episode 11.
It's like episode 11, and but series episodes like 22,
sure,
23. Yeah. But yeah, okay. So this is effectively like you're caught up, obviously.
Yeah,
and there's everybody's spoiler warning.
Yeah, I love the Dave warning text of like, hey Grant, like watch this sooner than later.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, noted.
I happened to time it just luckily because I, you know, so I, as you know, we both like our like Saturday morning cartoons. But sometimes I get laid out on the couch before it's released. But I had stuff to do that morning, and I don't know the exact time it comes out. But I just so happened to be on Crunchyroll, opened it, checked, it wasn't there. Went upstairs, did something, checked again, and it was there. And I was like, oh, so like I've made like the simulcast just in time. And then I watched it, and I was like, oh, shit. And then it was a really big episode. But then I was watching Crunchyroll, like the official Crunchyroll app, and other people were posting clips from it.
It's crazy. I we've talked about that. I do not understand like the.
And there's so much to be spoiled that I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, that's why I gave you a heads up. I was like, yeah, actually, there's like a handful of deaths that are big. So, yeah. So, okay. So they get the queen.
They get the queen.
Pretty tight. And then they all get fucking steamrolled by
that. The 30 seconds or the 20 seconds of Hunter Cha, like doing like the blade dancer, like all through.
That's cool,
like,
to see her capable.
Yeah. Going off, yeah, really, really cool. They've really kind of, because we were talking about this last time about how, you know, we think, you know, Sung Jin-Woo is like, he like, it's old power overwhelming. Like there's like not even comparison at this point.
He keeps getting close in encounters, but then he levels up and then steamrolls everybody, and then he has clothes, you know what I mean?
So we never really see it, but we know it, you know. And to see like all these S-rank hunters like really go off and it like look amazing and be really cool and like that was like kind of nothing, and so like to see them kind of get like crushed, you know, kind of flattened the way they did. But I do have to say, so before season 2 aired, I can't remember which, I think it was like a Sony PlayStation event, and there was a trailer for something associated to, I think it was a Crunchyroll like package of some sort, and like they straight up spoiled this moment. So I've seen the fucking the black ant like kind of like throwing down.
Oh really?
With a bunch of the S-rank hunters.
Really?
And I was kind of like, yeah, it was like before season 2 had even aired. It was like a week or two before.
Wow.
And there was like, it was a, I think it was like for a mobile game.
Oh, it's funny you say that, because...
And I was just kind of like, what the fuck? Like, how did... Like, that clearly... They've been teasing up the ant thing since season 1. I was like, did they just show, like, the final... a reenactment of the final fight in this mobile game? I was like, what the
Interesting.
Hell?
Interesting. Because I saw... It's funny you say that. I'm wondering if I'm seeing the same thing. I'm seeing people being like, oh, season 2 better not end up like this. And it's Sung Jin-Woo and the ant walking towards one another slowly and then cutting to black. Which I obviously
in the trailer I saw, no, but they were throwing hands for sure.
Oh, okay, I didn't see the trailer, but they're CG and it looks like CG a from a mobile game.
Yeah,
and I was like, is this a fan animation? Is it?
No, it's for a mobile game.
So that's probably why
I was pretty cheesed, and I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to even like allude to like what's going on.
No, you're
season.
The bro. That's wild, but, though. I'd be fucking pissed.
So I've been sitting on that for a while, and to see it, I was like, oh yeah, that's yeah him.
Well, that
yeah,
sucks.
Him taking out all the S ranks and then Sung Jin-Woo and him. Like,
you knew that he was going to body all the S ranks?
There was a clip of like clearly a bunch of characters that I hadn't like seen or recognized. Okay. Like I saw the dude with the afro and I was like, oh, I don't think we've met him yet. And then when I saw him pop up this season,
you connected
in like us. I was like, oh, okay. Like,
that sucks.
Like 12 weeks ago, I saw this. You know,
before
like,
episode 1 of season 2.
Yeah,
that blows.
Yeah, very strange.
Rip, dude. That blows. I think he has a name. I don't know if it's been given on screen yet, but I don't think it's a spoiler. The ant guy, like the dark ant. Is it
sure?
Beru? The reason I say this is only because I saw a thing. He's voiced by the same guy who does Akaza from Demon Slayer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I mean, he talks in like a weird way, so like good luck seeing if you can actually map that.
Because it sounds like he took the voice of the priest, the healer character.
Yeah. Well, he definitely echoed what the healer guy was saying, which was creepy as fuck.
It was creepy.
And he, just going back to how dope, I mean, like, how violent this show is, like, all the deaths are decapitations. Or not all of them, but a lot of the deaths earlier decapitations. And also, the episode opens on a POV.
Oh yeah,
of someone being decapitated. Like you see the other character upside down because their head's falling. I was like, that's fucking wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, he bites that dude's heads off, and then he says his last words. The vibe I'm getting about
Who is your king?
The vibe I get about why he ate his mom, but he didn't eat her totally. Like maybe he could get her memories.
I think it's like a
or power
like a pheromone thing, like he's now the king, or like he controls the colony.
Yes, that's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I will say it really sucks that that spoiled for you, because I will say like this is like a good example of like just like tension. Is I think in the back of your head you know Sung Jin-Woo's coming, or that he should, right? But you're trying to be like, oh, is it going to be now? Is it going to be now? But then they distract you so much with so much turmoil and action that you kind of forget that you know there's this possibility.
Yeah.
And then when it finally happens, you're genuinely surprised, like they want you to be. So like...
Yeah. Then all the the line of like, you know, exchange, the way it cuts from him saying exchange, I was like, they are so good at like that last second episode cutaway. But yeah, I saw a really interesting conversation going on in the episode discussion on Reddit, where people were like, I think someone was trying to make the point that like he is like not a masochist, but like he's not thinking of others, he's only thinking of himself, and like why wasn't he there from like the second he knew things were going wrong. But it's an interesting point was brought up that like there is a 10-minute delay on, so he probably is basing his reaction off the TVs to like when they probably cut off and he knew something was wrong, probably.
That's my guess too, because I don't know if we've been given, I don't know if they ever stated that just because he has a shadow somewhere,
he can communicate with them.
Can he?
I think he can't. I think it's like he can swap with them, but like there's not like necessarily.
He doesn't have a fucking camera feed, right? That's why I was saying. So yeah, I agree.
I think he knows if something is wrong. He gets like he kind of,
because if they die, remember when he was in the 104th dungeon, he's like, one of my shadows just died. But maybe that's all he knows. Like,
could be.
And they also were not in combat until the very end, when presumably he was watching TV and sent them out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. I don't think he was just sitting there.
No, being a dick.
For funsies.
But I saw another line too of like him showing up, taking all the loot. You know, he waits till everyone's dead to get the loot. So I'm like, I don't think it's that.
But I do think, you know, we've talked about like, is his humanity slipping away a little bit? How fulfilled does he feel now that his mom's back? What does this process do to him? Is the video game also, by the way, like controlling the fucking big king ant? Anyway.
That's the thing. Because have they said this is the only like official S-rank dungeon that's ever been completed?
I think so.
Or so that's appeared, I guess.
Yes. I think so. I'm not quote.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, I'm just trying to think back. But it's... Dude, the show... Like, it's... We talk about every time we have the podcast. Like, it just hits this little thing in the back of our lizard brains there. And just you know, Jungwoo go smash. You know?
Like, I love it. Yeah, but it's... I don't know. There's something about just like action done well, right? Like
it's gonna leave such a. And it was like this last time. Like, I think you and I were just so jacked on it, season one, especially in the ending. Yeah. It's gonna leave such an action hole for the next foreseeable future.
I think, you know, I sent you and I implore you to watch it. I mean, you don't fucking have to, but I think fortunately, like, I'm in a role. I'm, you know, we're doing some traveling, but if this creates a hole, I'm going to watch that Neon Genesis Explainer video like 10 times, and then I'm going to rewatch the whole goddamn thing. And like everything associated with that franchise. There's a giant Eva in Japan, kind of like the Gundam.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and find it.
Ooh.
Okay, we'll be back. We are going to record in another couple weeks.
Next Tuesday,
and we'll be here to talk about the finale and how we feel.
And I'm going to try something fun the week that Dave is away. One of the weeks that Dave is away. It's going to be right around when the spring season is starting. I might try and do a little bit of a Twitch thing. Watch some trailers. I'm going to try to figure out how to have everything up on screen. And, you know, put that up on YouTube maybe or something like that. Just to do something different while you're away. But
yeah,
it's good timing with all the new shows coming out. So
yeah, that's mid-April of this year. And... like, if you've been listening to the show for a while, Grant typically, like, you know, as the anime season turns, like, a billion trailers come out. Mm-hmm. Grant goes through them. It helps him decide, like, which pilots to watch, which ones we end up covering. We do, like, similar stuff with, like, movies and whatnot. But, you know, it's a little bit different. The anime season is different. So, anyway, he'll probably, like, broadcast as he goes through all of them. So, we'll promo that. If you're not following us, make sure you do on Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast. We'll have, you know, details, stories. We'll put it in highlights or make a post for it or something like that. But, yeah. Okay, that's Solo Leveling. Is there anything else?
No, I'm pretty light, honestly. It was just a week of catching up on Severance and
White Lotus. Okay, then I'll just end on this because I can make it quick. I will say, Grant, for the first time in years, I want to manage your expectations correctly here. I'm having a relatively good time watching a Marvel-related property.
Oh, are we talking Daredevil?
Daredevil Born Again.
All right.
Disney Plus, 3 episodes are out.
I've had quite a few people really push that on me, saying it's really good.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
Born Again is a good way to put it, because they've clear, like, there was, I think, a lot of reshoots and a lot of confusion for them on what to keep from the Netflix show and what not to keep. And I don't want to spoil much, though I do think they've made it relatively clear that, like, certain actors are involved. So, like,
sure. You can
probably make some assumptions that, you know, this person's there and that person's there. I'll give you two things if you decide to watch it, which I think, as you know, we always recommend watching the pilot because pilots are hard.
Yep.
But two things. I think the pilot's really good. Like, shockingly good, in fact. They, like, really, like, set a tone. Ironically, the word on the street, again, I don't have any inside people, but I'm available if there are inside people who would like to give us some insight. The word is that despite this pilot being so good, it's a good thing it went that way, because it was a last minute decision that, like, they reshot most of the pilot after they set up the series. And a lot of that was to put in some tie-ins that tied it directly to the Netflix show in more formal ways. I will not spoil any plot points, but, like, they do stuff and apparently had to reshoot a huge amount of it. And unfortunately, you can kind of tell. So, like, it's funny because the story choices they make are great and exciting.
Okay.
But, like, how it looks, you're like, okay, Daredevil's, like, the action show. Like, you really can't afford, especially with, like, all the heat Marvel catches on CG stuff, like, you really can't afford, like, something that misses a little bit. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it misses a little bit. Still really good, though. But it's kind of a controversial pilot. So, or not controversial, but, like, if you watch it, you'll understand what I'm getting at.
Hmm.
They make some choices.
I might check that out, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And, there's, you know,
it's... I did really like that Daredevil show. Like, that was... they were all good. Well, I know everyone goofed on the Iron Fist one, but...
Yes.
It had its moments.
But like, Sam's watching with me and enjoying it, and she's like, who's that guy? And, like, you know, because some people are from the show, and, like, what is... And it just makes me... It's reminding me of how good Daredevil was. And I'm like, oh, they had these hallway scenes, and then the Punisher, John Barenthal. Hallway.
Is he in this? Because he's been hitting there's been a lot of Punisher talk, and it came out, like, the week the episode came out. Like,
yeah, I think if it's in a marketing material thing, I can tell you without it being a spoiler, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I saw him in a trailer on this. Okay. I have not seen, if I have seen him, I won't mention. But I also know, because he's talking about it in the press, I believe the plan is they're doing a 1-hour Disney Plus special, just called Punisher, or something like that.
I did see that, and he's, again, this is like the most, like, they're going to let us do the Punisher, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I know.
But, I don't know if they went for it on Netflix. Like, there was that second season, there's some pretty brutal stuff.
Yeah, dude. I was saying
the first
two,
but
I was saying that to Sam. I was like, you know, everyone has a hallway scene, and the Punisher's hallway scene was in a prison. Got myself all amped up. But John Barenthal's perfect for that.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, if you like have an itch in that area, might be fun. And I think, you know, I'll wind up fucking watching Thunderbolts just because I think Stan gets a cut of the gate. So, you know, I got to do my part. No, I don't think he does. But I will end up watching Thunderbolts probably. Though, let's be real, I bet that thing goes to Disney Plus pretty quick. So maybe just
watch. But movies are having a hard time right now. It's, I think it's like 2 or 3 weekends back to back. We're historically pretty bad.
Mickey 17, our boy. I mean, I don't know if he's our boy, but I
think he's our boy.
Bong Joon-ho and Robert Pattinson taking notes.
Bong Joon-ho's my boy.
He's definitely my boy.
Yeah. Well, the thing, it's
not looking good. I actually, you know what, dude?
It wasn't marketed though. Like, that's the thing. Like, you see nothing about it. We know about it because we're fucking movie nerds and.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of in that algorithm and whatnot, but it's not, I don't know.
It's very half glass empty, but I have to send you a post that I saw on Reddit that made it to, like, you know, the front page of the r/movies sub.
Okay.
And the title was like, quote, just right original story, good original content, right? End quote. And it was this guy on a fucking rant about, like, everybody keeps yelling at studios, telling them to stop remaking old property, milking franchises for all their worth, rushing sequels, and making, you know, box office CGI-filled slop. And then he goes, and we just watched, like, 5 amazing movies that are critically acclaimed make less than Captain America Brave New World combined. And nobody likes Captain America Brave New World.
No.
And he's just like, audiences don't want good stories. They want to be spoon-fed. It's a very pessimistic take. Yeah. But I was reading it, and having not paid for Mickey 17, being, you know, bummed that it's bombing is like, well, you might have a point. Yeah. But it was, not a good time to be at the movies. Though I must assume there's seasonality involved, but
I always feel like such an asshole because, like, I am so invested in, like, I listen to movie podcasts, I have interest, I plan my free time around going to the movies when I can.
Yeah.
And, like, I really wanted to see the Monkey, the new Osgood Perkins movie. I really want to see Mickey 17. I really want to see Black Bag. I have no time to get out to the movie theaters, and it's like they're saying Mickey 17 is going to be on VOD
within three weeks they announce it.
Yeah. That's next week. That's what's that? Next Friday?
Yeah, let's watch it.
No, Tuesday, a week from now.
Well, we could cover it if we coordinate. We could cover it on the next pod.
We could.
We could try.
I want to see it so bad.
We'll talk.
My boys.
Oh, and we might have some. Yeah, we have movie. We have to talk later about. Maybe we'll see some. We have that movie plan. All right. Okay. While I'm gone, Grant, read Berserk, Volume 2. We're going to come back.
I've been behind.
No, I picked it up the other day, and I had to, like, reread, you know, a couple chapters to, like, get me back in the zone, and then I read, like, 7, and I was like, holy shit, I need... Anytime I pick this thing up and give it the time of day, I lose an hour or two of my day, and that's a good sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got to get back on that as well.
Reading's the best.
But, yeah. Okay, lots to do. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And then mid-April, mark your calendars or at least keep an eye on the Instagram, the TikTok for some Twitch-related content, trailer review, all that stuff. I think that's it. I haven't said it yet. Follow us on TikTok, obviously. Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube. We post the podcast in video there. There should be video on Spotify as well. I think that's it. Grant, anything else?
No.
Okay.
That's it. See you guys soon.
We'll be back in a couple weeks. Grant, go ahead. Say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.